Opus Dissonus presents Studio Masterclasses with Arthur Semedo.
Hi, I am Arthur Semedo, and this is the masterclass on Beethoven's Grande Sonata Pathétique, Opus 13, based on the book Scientific System of Interpretation or Musical Hermeneutics. For more information, you can access my website. And here I'm not going to teach you how to make your own interpretation, because this would be a terrible mistake. Actually, it is one of the biggest mistakes made by pianists in masterclasses. If you want to become a serious or professional pianist, you need to find your own voice and not play in a way someone tells you to play. My intention here is to make you notice some interesting details about the score which you normally will not find in any recording of this piece, no matter if the pianist is a golden age one, a new one, or a market one. So the question is, why starting with Beethoven? And why starting with Grande Sonata Pathétique? Well, it is because I'm not in agreement with some people who say this is a well-known piece, and I will explain why. Long ago, this was among the first pieces I ever played, and it was before I decided to study seriously the piano and become a professional pianist and composer myself. Later, I opened the musical score again and started to notice that I was playing wrongly. And then I was surprised to notice every single pianist who had already recorded this piece had never played it as it is written. It was in 2002. Of course, I was shocked, as maybe some of you can be now, and from time to time I was trying to understand what was happening and why I had found these problems, and no one ever had made mention about it anywhere. And I was amazed when I noticed the same kind of problem in a big part of the standard piano repertoire. Not only in this sonata, not only in this composer. So my first step was to ask teachers in masterclasses. Mostly ignored me, saying, "Oh no, no one cares for this. This way all our playing is right." But I never had a better theoretical answer than "this is like it is." So I decided to not take seriously what they told me, since I noticed what was the problem. It was something named tradition. My point is, no matter what the tradition says, Beethoven wrote a musical score, and you notice with my examples that you have never heard Beethoven Pathétique Sonata as it is written. And if anyone can prove me wrong, that would be very interesting to hear about. So you are welcome to contact me about it. First of all, the sonata was written in 1798. The main inspiration for this piece clearly is Mozart's Sonata in C minor, published as Opus 11, with a Fantasia as introduction. And we can feel the influence of this work in other Beethoven works too, like for example the Third Piano Concerto. The Grande Sonata Pathétique, Opus 13, starts with grave, which means a slow, serious, and solemn tempo. Here we have two problems at the same time. I will start speaking about the second, because the first can be understood as my own opinion, while the second is exactly what Beethoven wrote. So, this second problem is the musical theme. Often I ask students and even professionals who are interested in the scientific system of interpretation to sing the first melody of this sonata, and always I hear. Then my next step is to open the musical score and ask, where is the melody? Well, if you learn music theory and you never saw this score and never heard the music, no doubts you will go directly to the left hand, because that is the only melody written in these first bars. The problem is that we have a tradition, which probably comes from a mixture of a not-so-deep study of the score, together with the habit of listening too much before reading. And maybe also the first old pianolas, where hardly you could notice difference in piano playing textures, may have given a contribution for this traditional mistake. So hear the first bars as they are written. You may notice we have chords in the right hand and the melody in the left hand. Before someone become crazy, let me tell you that this is the theme you will find in all the other movements. While you will not find the old theme again in the second or in the third movement. And I will show you this as soon as you arrive there. Don't worry. Now, I told you about the second problem. So it's time to speak about the first problem, the first chord. While some pianists believe you need to make effect with pedals to give the impression of forte piano subito, they simply forget Mozart also used this writing, and no one plays using the pedal trick. And Beethoven used the same writing during the third movement, and by a miracle, the adepts of this pedal trick always forget to make the effect in the third movement. During the first movement, Beethoven comes back to the known old melody twice, while the right melody uses it four times. The old theme, and let me call old theme the famous, is used here. And here. But now, let's go back to the fifth and sixth bars. Here you notice you have the same movement from the new theme. Use it this time as accompaniment. And we always need remember we are in a tempo called grave. It's very important to keep this in order to notice the effect Beethoven wants. Hearing all the rests. Especially concerning the legatura and the portato. Then we have Allegro di molto e con brio. Here you can see the similar writing to Mozart's C minor sonata. Bars 16 and 17, you have these interesting chords, which are similar to the real theme. At bars 27 and 28 and 31 and 32, here is something interesting. First indication is rinforzando, and the second is sforzando. I do not believe Beethoven would make two different indications for playing the same thing. At bar 51 we have, and here is interesting to notice two things. First, it is in E flat minor. If we make a modulation to C minor, we have the third movement first notes. And second, this is a retrograde reading of the theme without the passage note, which is originally a F sharp. and with the last original note in a different octave, or originally a G. So here is the original theme. It is the same without the passage note. Here we move the last note to one octave below. And here we have the retrograde inversion of this result. At bar 89 we have a new writing, a very beautiful part with an interesting contrast writing by Beethoven, which is hardly noticed by interpreters exactly as writing. First it is in legato and then staccato in the last note of each group. Now let me speak about the coming ritornello. According Andras Schiff, he and Rudolf Serkin believe Beethoven was wrong writing this way, and they believe you must return to the very first chord. I believe they are wrong because Beethoven had all his life to change this ritornello, and to me his intentions were not to copy an early classical sonata form, since the grave introduction already show us a very different kind of sonata, starting slower than any other already known sonata those times. And then we are going to return to the same beginning in a modulation to G minor. One may ask, why do I play so strongly some parts? I say Beethoven did not use it fortississimos like Rachmaninoff. That doesn't mean he didn't play them. Beethoven fortissimos are like Rachmaninoff ones too. The difference is the composers after Beethoven decided to put more details about interpretation of the pieces. So the writing range of the expression become bigger after Beethoven. Allegro molto e con brio, bar 137. Once more we listen the old theme rhythmically different. We have some interesting subitus at bars 211-215, a very nice effect. Finally, we arrive at the coda, fortissimo in both chords. That means you must play with the same kind of attack. Personally, I prefer to make it bigger in the second chord, because we have a long silence after that. And the theme is back. And it becomes part of the chords. And there are also some similarities with Bach Partita in C minor, especially the beginning. But I think it's not so deep connected as it is with Mozart sonata. Now the second movement. One will notice in Mozart C minor sonata this theme on the second movement too. and hear Beethoven. Not much is necessary to say. The third measure gives us a little reminiscence of the first movement theme. And in bars 8 and 58, we have a wonderful staccato, which I hardly remember if any pianist played at all. In bar 12 and bar 13, we have two different legato in the left hand, a long one and a smaller one. And finally, the first theme from the first movement. If you didn't got it yet, this is the theme. This is the modulation to F minor. And this is the same without the passage note. At bar 62, we can notice the three different kinds of playing: left hand staccato, middle notes with legato and non-legato, and the legato writing on top notes. And here the beautiful coda with one interesting staccato note almost in the end of each repetition. We have then the third movement, a wonderful rondò. A lot of similarities with Mozart's C minor sonata third movement too. The theme is built in three ways. First, as a retrograde version of the first movement theme. And second, as a theme in augmentation. Pay attention to this. Now only this. Of course, the passage note now becomes a F and not a F sharp. And finally, you can hear the notes of the first movement theme here too. Sforzando piano subito chords in bars 18 and 22. If you play the first movement with pedal tricks, now you need to do it again. Bar 59, ending the scales faster. Bar 78, a contrapuntal writing. Based on the ending of the third movement theme, bars 5 and 6. Bar 128. Theme is in the left hand. Fortissimo at bar 198. coda, the theme appears again. Third movement theme is changed. Decrescendo. Pianissimo. And fortissimo. Thank you very much for listening. I hope you enjoy it. And if you have any questions or would like to request a masterclass on another piano piece, please contact me on the Opus Dissonus email. Thank you again.